Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, New Life family and friends. This is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I have with me Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good to see you. Okay, Jackie, I have a question.
Okay.
All right. Emotional Freedom Workshop's coming up here very quickly.
Yes.
And give us a sneak peek. What are you going to give us?
So I get to talk about trauma.
Uh-huh.
I take a little time to define trauma and explore the ways in which we can experience trauma, and then talk about, you know, some of the ways we can be traumatized, but also then the way it acts in our body, and then some ways that we can recover from it so we're not passing our trauma down to the future generations.
Yeah.
I like to say, in the same way that we pass down generational wealth or generational poverty, we pass down generational trauma. And so we are acting out in this generation from the generations of trauma before us, and it's become the normal way of being in society. And I'm a firm believer that if we heal trauma in just this generation, we get to hand down wellness.
Yeah.
And so we can maybe eliminate some of the dysfunction in our families by healing from the hurts from our past.
Yeah.
So I get to share that with everyone, and
oh,
it's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. And Jill, we're also talking about grief. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, welcome to New Life Live. We're going to talk about trauma and grief to start off the show.
Such happy topics.
Yes.
But none of our lives are void of both of those.
Right.
We all have had something that is traumatic that's happened to us, because you can't be alive and not have it, right?
Right.
As well as grief, which is all about loss. And so those are things, and they're topics, you're right, that we want to avoid. And we think, oh, if we just kind of push them aside, we'll be okay. We just have a positive attitude and keep moving on. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
We can't bury, we bury them alive. We don't bury them.
Exactly. And anything that we don't work through, mm-hmm. it's going to come back and haunt us.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I heard you once say, Chris, the trauma that if we don't transform it, we will transmit it.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. I took that line from the author, Richard Rohr. It's like, and I just think it's so true. And that is it. The pain that we do not transform, we will transmit.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that over and
over.
And
we see that because when we have an overreaction to something in the present, we know that it's usually historically based.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's an indication right there.
Ask yourself, why am I reacting this way?
Yeah.
Is there some truth in this? Is this something I need to look at? I realize there are oftentimes I don't need to go even have a conversation with the person. And now as an avoider, I know I got to be careful with that, but I can really help heal myself just by being honest in the situations about what I'm experiencing, what I'm feeling, and like, I can do this. This is something I have the power to sit with and process through. But it sometimes can be really uncomfortable when you're dealing with trauma and grief.
Absolutely. And we want to invite you into this process. You know, I talk about it as a mob boss. The pain and grief that we don't deal with is like a mob boss. We can ignore it for so long, but we are going to pay up one way or another. However, this may sound weird, but our pain and our grief can actually become our friend if we learn to live with it and create new meaning and purpose from that. And
it can be a strength.
Absolutely.
It grows and develops us.
You know, and we see that our faith informs us so deeply. You know, that Jesus sent the Comforter to us. He is a man of many sorrows, acquainted with many sorrows, so that he can be with us in our sorrow. and bring redemption through that. And so we, again, want to invite you into that process. Give us a call today, 1-800-229-3000. And we'll just invite you along the journey to discover hope and healing in life's hardest places. That's what we're here for, and we'll be right back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams, and I'm on with Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Again, the good doctors. And we're going to go to Ellie in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening on the internet. Ellie, are you there?
Yes, thank you. So my situation is about 40 years of marriage is that my in-laws have always taken me out of the picture considerably. And so this last time was when the sister-in-law called from out of state, you know, for the Happy New Year greeting or what have you. And she asked my daughter to speak to her brother, my husband. And so to make it obvious, I sat next to my husband during the phone call to make it obvious that she had no regard for me, couldn't say Happy New Year or how's your wife or anything like that. So she's coming this fall to visit. Do I wait to see her, or, you know, do I wait to confront her when she arrives, when she's here visiting the family?
Ellie, I want to ask a question. When you're sitting next to your husband and he's on the phone with his sister, do you say, "Hey, sis, how you doing? Happy New Year"?
Nope.
Okay. No. So there's
because I wanted to make a point that she will not regard to my person.
And Ellie, is this a second marriage? You said you've been married 4 years.
40.
Oh, 40. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry, that makes a huge difference in what I was thinking. So you're the first and only wife?
Correct.
Okay. And so is a big difference. So in all these years, you've said your in-laws haven't really included you, like they stick to their biological children?
Yep.
Okay, and that's trickled down to then how the sister-in-law treats you. So I'm wondering.
Yes, because that's all she's known her adult life.
That's all she's known?
A teenager.
You said that's all she's known her adult life?
Yes.
So, Ellie.
How to treat me.
Yes, that is what she's known, how to treat you, because we teach people how to treat us. And so if every time my sister-in-law calls my husband, I'm sitting there waiting for her to acknowledge me, then I'm not taking the opportunity to acknowledge her. And so I have it modeled for her how I interact with people. And so if maybe you reach out, have there been times when you tried to connect with her and she blew you off?
I sent her a picture, a family picture, and she was grateful.
Okay. Well, and I'm wondering, Ellie, okay, I know you've been married a long time, but even prior to marriage, have you been sensitive to people not valuing you or acknowledging you or issues with rejection?
Correct.
Okay. So we often look for the very thing that we fear. And it's like, aha, I'm not going to be fooled by that again. There it is again. Mm-hmm. And so if you have taken a posture over the years of constantly looking for where people reject you, then you're going to react and respond accordingly and kind of be in that more defensive posture of, see, they don't accept me. Yeah. Instead of you, like Jackie, you're saying, reaching out and being the acceptor
others. It's like an offense looking for an excuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Looking for some place to land.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have power here in this relationship to make it what you'd like for it to be.
Part of the problem is
that if I were to interrupt my husband to say something on the phone call, he would do something rude, like tell me to be quiet.
Is that is something for you guys to maybe talk about where that's coming from for him? Is there argument that's maybe happening? Maybe has there been conversations that the two of you have had, and he may be embarrassed and fearful of what's going to happen? Maybe the two of you could talk more about that so that it's not an interruption in the phone call. It's just a when they call, rather than waiting on someone to acknowledge me, I'm going to acknowledge them. Hey, hi, happy new year. And then you could go on with your life. But sometimes we have expectations of others, and we don't vocalize those expectations. And we think people are thinking certain things. We think people are behaving in certain ways to hurt us, and they are oblivious to us. They are going on about their life. Mm-hmm. She is doing her life. She may not even have an inkling that this is bothering you, because it's not a priority. It's not even on her radar unless you put it on her radar. So if you have an expectation that you have not vocalized to the person you have an expectation of, you're likely not to get it because it's not their priority. In the same way that she might have expectations of you that don't amount to anything if you don't know what those expectations are. And so you could have some peace by releasing her from your expectations and stating what you need. You need to be acknowledged. So acknowledge. Hi, how are you? How's your day? How was your week? Call them. Have you
start reaching out before the visit?
Because it's important for you to be intentional about cultivating the relationships you want to have. And sometimes we will wait for others to pursue us, not realizing that this pursuit in a relationship could go both ways.
And the expectations you were talking about, Jackie, we have expectations for others that we don't have for ourselves.
Yet
we're expecting them to be fulfilled.
Well, Ellie, can I take a stab at something?
Yes.
In the home that you grew up in, you didn't get a whole lot of attention. And in fact, I think there's quite a bit of abandonment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even by what you described with your husband.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's that abandonment energy that you're referring to. Mm-hmm. It's that believing, because of those early experiences in our life, that we start believing for ourselves that I am unworthy. Mm-hmm. I am unlovable. I am rejectable. And so...
And then we get mad.
It creates this high pain sensitivity to it. And so it's sort of like like you were saying, Jill, we're looking for that offense.
Creating our own worst nightmare.
So if you don't give me the acknowledgement that I'm looking for, that is too painful, and I'll either character attack you and or character attack myself. But that cycle keeps going because of that abandonment and that loss in our childhood. And so it's really, really important that we go back and we start exploring that, seeing where that came from, so that we can, what I call, hold ourselves better. And that other people's behavior affects us less. And
doesn't put us on that roller coaster of self-esteem, right? Where it's dashed. And so we're putting all the power in the other people to define us.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to have a conversation with her when she comes to visit, maybe make it an invitation. Hey, here's the story I'm telling myself about this phone call. Here's what I'm thinking is happening. Can you help me understand what you were thinking? Because now you're inviting her to a conversation. You're not accusing her of being hurtful intentionally.
Yeah.
You're trying to get an understanding. And once you have an understanding, then you can make different choices, right? And if you ask her, you tell her what you were thinking, and she says, absolutely not, that's not what I was thinking at all, then you'll need to trust that and then start to treat her accordingly, right? So now you could reach out. You could speak with her. You could give her a call. You could maybe send her a card. And then that will get that ball rolling, because that's showing those are things you value.
Right. She might think that you don't really want to be acknowledged, as odd as that sounds, or that you're a little bit standoffish, right? So she's trying to respect your distance.
Well, and the bottom line is relationships are weird.
Mm-hmm. And they're hard.
And they're hard and they're difficult.
And that's why it's good often to get into therapy when we find that we misinterpret relationships a lot.
The primary relationship is the relationship to ourselves, right? And so how we're relating to ourselves with these primary messages is going to impact the way that we relate to the world around us. Mm-hmm. And so a good therapeutic process is restoring the relationship to the self so that we are more secure and safe people to connect out in the world. And so, Ellie, I'm going to invite you into something. I want you to attend our Emotional Freedom Workshop. It's online, April 30th. And if you need help, we have scholarship available. We're also going to send you the Emotional Freedom Workbook. And it's just really important that you get into this process because Ellie, you are a loving, great person, but want you to live more freely connected to yourself and the people around you. So thank you so much for calling in. And I really do resonate with Ellie's story because abandonment's part of my own story. Mm-hmm. And so I carry that sensitivity and these really almost unconscious expectations of other people. Yeah. And so if you don't acknowledge me or if you don't, for the longest time, I would go into relationship loaded, right? Just loaded with expectation, loaded with these things that I want you to do for me and soothe me in certain ways or acknowledge me in certain ways. And if you don't, watch out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that just creates a lot of confusion for other people and makes
it hurt for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Clear as kind. Let your expectations be known. The other person still has an option to say no, but at least you've been honest about what you want and what you need. But that means connecting back with yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Ellie, again, thank you so much for calling in today. And we're going to go back to the phone. We're going to go to Joseph in Sanford, North Carolina. Joseph, are you there?
Yeah.
Joseph, New Life Live, Chris Williams. Yeah. How's it going?
All right.
What can we do for you today, man?
Well, I was looking for, as I was telling the other ladies, I've been an addict on and off majority of my life. I've been in and out of recovery 17 years. And during those 17 years, 15 years I was in and out. I've had 18 months twice. I know that that limited time. But I'm looking for resources because I've been reconnected to my older children after 17 years of not being with them. And I'm trying to be the best daddy I can. I put down some of the harder stuff, but I still dabble with like weed and alcohol. But on the same token, I made a promise to God that if he brought me back my children, I'd put down the stuff. But I have a life recovery Bible, and there's additional books that has to go in it. I'm basically jobless and homeless. I'm trying to get stabilized so that I can have them in my life. And I also know that recovery is a big part of it.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm looking for the resources. I'm looking for some help to be the best dad I can. I don't want to be a disgraceful father or a shame father. I want to be a father that's honorable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, Joseph, let me take a guess. Your own father was less than honorable.
Well, let's put it this way. My mother left him when I was semi-told, and I still don't know the man at the age of 48.
Yeah.
So already being I've reconnected with my two older children. I still got a daughter that's in Florida.
So hear me out.
Three next month.
Yeah, so Joseph, hear me out for a second. Right. So you're not gaining a whole lot of long-term recovery because you're carrying too much long-term pain. And you're...
Yes, I've had that pain all my life. I spent 5 years in juvie hall.
Yes.
And then abused any way possible.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I am so sorry that you've had that experience. And we want to be able to help you because I know that your resources are very, very limited here. But I'm going to start with something. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to have our good doctors, our Dr. J's, talk to you a lot more. But you know that 12-step recovery meetings are free. And I want you to think of it being a daily activity every single day. Now, whether you're sober or whether you're not, that is just something that you are able to do and to get to. The recovery and healing will be the best thing that you can possibly do for your children. But we'll get more into the specifics about that right as we come back. Thank you for being here with us today. If you're online, hold on. We'll come back to your calls right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams here with two Dr. J's. I love it. Dr. Jill and Dr. Jackie. And we're talking to another J, and that's Joseph in North Carolina. And Joseph, this thing of addiction is really, really, really difficult, and you've been struggling a long time. And addiction and our pain, especially our childhood pain, go hand in hand. But we want to continue to connect you with resources. Jackie, what do you think?
I think that a meeting every day is a great place to start trying to be the dad you want to be. You get to model doing this hard work and showing consistency. And sticking to your word, to yourself, and doing some work to heal yourself. But I would say a meeting every day, committing to going to a meeting every day. Your kids are going to see that as, okay, he's serious this time. He's really going to do it.
Mm-hmm. That perseverance, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just doing something to get their attention. Mm-hmm. You're doing lifestyle changes every single day. And I think, Joseph, you should add into that ACA meetings, which is Adult Children of Alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And whether your parents were alcoholic or not, it really helps with childhood trauma and past issues of dysfunction growing up. And I think as you look at those issues for yourself, that will help in your healing process, and you will be able to be a better dad and meet that goal.
Yeah, because you mentioned you're still dabbling a little bit, still a little weed, still a little alcohol, so there's still some pain you're self-medicating from. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of giving it up is probably, you know, ludicrous. Your brain is probably, as a wise professor once taught me, your brain is probably saying, you're going to die if you don't get it. You need it. So you're going to need some support. You're going to need to find a therapist in your area that can help you work through. You said you've been abused in every way imaginable. Yeah. You've got a lot of trauma that you are probably medicating and trying to soothe with the different substances that you're using, and that's impacting your parenting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Joseph, here you actually have something in your back pocket that you may not realize, and that is you are a resourceful person. Mm-hmm. You're looking for resources, but you're resourceful. You called us. You said you've been in and out of programs. Let me give you a hint about those of us who work in both on the recovery side and in the professional side of addiction, is we have a soft, soft heart for people looking for help, who want to get sober. It's embedded in our program. Now it's embedded in our DNA. I want you to go back. I want you to think about who are the best people that helped me out, and I'm going to give them a call. I'm going to take the risk to see if they will help me again. And I'm going to make that commitment not just to God or my children, or like do this barter thing with God. He tends to not do those things. He tends to just give us grace and to provide grace in those resources. So rely on God's grace and the resources that he has given you. You have a Life Recovery Bible. We're also going to send you, it's going to sound like a strange resource, but I think it's going to really help you. It's Understanding and Loving a Person with Substance Abuse and Addiction. And so it's in our wellness program. And
what about the workbook?
And yes, Life Recovery absolutely. Workbook. Thank you, Jill. Yes. And Joseph, we're also going to send you the Life Recovery Workbook. But as you hear in the rooms of recovery all the time, it works if you work it. Mm-hmm. The other aspect of that is that yesterday's recovery doesn't work today. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do it one day at a time.
One day at a time.
And so you work if it works. So get back into it. surround yourself not just with books and things to read, surround yourself with people who are in recovery,
who are working it.
Who are working it. And as they say in the rooms also, stick with the winners. So, Joseph, thank you so, so much for calling in to us today. We are going to cheer you along, pray for you in your recovery. And again, keep using that superpower of reaching out, because you are going to find it and you're going to find the help that you need. So again, thank you so much for calling in today. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go to Jenny listening in Minneapolis, Minnesota on podcast. Jenny, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, how can we help you today?
Hi, I called in because I am trying to figure out how to deal with grief, specifically childhood grief from myself. And I have a son, a two-year-old, and I feel like my grief from my childhood, from being like abused or just neglected, I feel like some of those actions of mine can, you know, in my conscious and everything, I can kind of have thoughts regarding like just having anxiety when it comes to him, especially when he's around anybody else other than me. I'm always worried that he's in harm or that he's being touched or anything like that. And it's I've had like a lot of moments where I've been so sure. Hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
You hear the music, so we...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, okay, sorry.
That's okay.
But, yeah, I've been so sure that, like, you know, that it's happening to him. I don't know for a fact, but I have strong feelings sometimes, especially when it comes to his behaviors.
Yeah.
He'll do things, and I have no reason. I have no clue why he's doing that. It's inappropriate.
Yeah.
And when
Jenny, let me...
He goes in between two different families.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, let me jump in here, and because we're going to head to a break here. And so is the question, how do you parent your child through and the fears that you're carrying inside of you as well?
Yeah.
Helping with your fear and your concerns? Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to help you right after we head to the break here.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams here, in with Dr. Jill, Dr. Jackie, and we're have another J on the phone, Jenny. So it's the J day. So
yeah.
Jenny, just really thank you first off for calling in. You know, in a previous show, we were actually talking about this, about how when we're carrying around the pain of our childhood, we oftentimes transfer the fear around that pain to our children. And Jackie, you had a lot to share about this.
Yeah, I really do believe that if we can get healed in this generation from our trauma, we can limit what we pass down to our kids, and we can pass down wellness instead. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're aware that you're dealing with. You know that some of your reaction is coming out of your own childhood trauma. Have you done work yourself personally? Are you in therapy?
I've been in therapy before. I've talked about these things before. But I know that it's still deep inside does linger with me, because in tough times I do still bring up these subjects, and and it does still bother me.
Well, and Jenny, especially when we have children, the issues resurface at different ages of our children. And so even if you've done work in the past, more work, it sounds like, needs to be done. Because a lot of times we do as much as we can at any given point. And then as we things progress, then we need to go back and do more work.
Yeah. And then I think there's also the... You mentioned that there's things that your son does that's concerning to you that seem inappropriate. And in, during the break, I was talking about my grandson and how I'm a girl mom. I only have daughters. And so he surprised me, and I just called for his granddad and let him handle it, because I was unsure of how to handle it. It didn't seem like something that was appropriate. If he had been much older, it would have been really concerning. But, you know, there's some
boys do things that girls don't do.
Yes.
And having had one of each,
boys
are curious, and they're curious about their bodies.
Yep.
And so they often
explore.
Yes, there's lots of exploring for young boys. Yep. Yeah, for sure.
In that toddler phase.
Yes, absolutely.
And so you could find that some of what he's experiencing is developmental. You said, though, that he's going between two houses.
He goes in between two families, so sometimes he's over at his dad's family's house, and I don't have close relationship with them, and we've been through our own personal problems in the past, so we don't communicate with each other. But when it comes to the structures of families, we do have different views and different values, and you know, I've even noticed certain things too. You know, when I've been around their other children, and I don't try to be judgmental or, you know, but I think that's where the resurfacing comes from, too, because instantly if I see their children doing something around my children that's inappropriate that I don't want him to be doing, and then I instantly think of something from my childhood that I've been through, and I'm like, okay, is this what's going on? Should I be concerned? And then that's when the anxiousness just resurfaces in all of the anxiety and worry.
And Jenny, we have a term for that. It's called a trauma trigger. So you're being triggered in your fear and your pain, and that's why it would be a really, really good time to get back into some trauma therapy.
I would love to do that, especially to heal myself, because I want to be a good parent for him, and I don't want to walk in fear for him. I want to have him leave my sight and be comfortable and not have to worry about it, because I'm always anxious when he's not with me. I'm always worried about what somebody is going to do to him.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. You're a mom.
Yeah.
You know, that's your child. Parents do get concerned when their kids are out of their eye, you know. We want to know what they're doing, but you also recognize that there's a bunch of this anxiety that's coming out of your own experience. And this is a good time for you to get into therapy. Do you have access to Christian counseling? I know we must have some therapists
in the Minneapolis
area. And so maybe we can help you with finding someone.
Yeah.
I would need somebody.
Well, Jenny, I want you to stay online, and they're going to connect you with a therapist in our network. If you're listening out there and Jenny's story is resonating with you and you're like, I would really like to get into some therapy, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have counselors all over the country, but Jenny, for you specifically, we want to get you into the help that you need. We're also going to send you a copy of the Emotional Freedom Workbook. And Larry is in studio with me right now, and so I'm going to take liberty and give you a scholarship to the Emotional Freedom online workshop. So that Emotional Freedom Workshop is going to really help you connect back with your pain, but also be able to move through it in addition to other people. You'll be in a group setting, you'll listen to some talks, in a group setting. I believe that that'll help you tremendously. Mm-hmm. And most importantly,
yeah, thank you,
so much. We did, this is, your story is so important of why we want people in their healing. Mm-hmm. Because your son has a great mom, mm-hmm. and we're really, really proud of you.
Yes.
And we just want you to be more free from that fear that tends to control and hijack.
Yes. Thank you.
No problem. Well, thank you so much for calling in today, Jenny. And again, those resources are coming your way. Again, if you want to sign up for our Emotional Freedom Workshop, it's online April 30th. If you register by April 15th, you get $100 off. So definitely take advantage of that. And speaking of taking advantage of people, I have Larry Sonnenberg in the office today.
The antithesis of taking advantage
absolutely,
of people.
Absolutely. Well, in all honesty, I do take advantage of the resource of Larry. I oftentimes, in my own business, need a wise and godly voice. And Larry, you have definitely been that for me.
Thank you,
Chris. As you're that for so many others. So what do you have for us today?
Okay, it's Every Man's Battle Week coming up again. Well, not this week, April the 8th. But I have a testimony I want to read. This man writes, as an alumni from last year's Zoom session in the summer, I can't believe how much more I got out of the workshop a second time. The reason I love this testimony, by the way, is he came to Every Man's Battle as a Zoom attendee and now has come back because he wanted to get the whole experience. And here's what he said about that. I signed up online for the Zoom session under the assumption that it was better than nothing. And while I still think that to be true, I also can't help but emphasize the power I experienced from being in person this time around. I was still able to retain the information, the same as Zoom. However, the emotional impact was far more profound. I thank God I came back to experience this because of the time and effort I dedicated through the weekend helped me dig deeper into fighting this battle. With regards to my group and group facilitator, this was arguably my favorite part of this experience. I felt as though my group clicked almost instantly. My group was able to bond, process, and communicate. And at the same time, we laughed, while our facilitator was able to keep discussions productive and professional. I couldn't be more grateful. So we don't typically appeal to folks and say, if you've been once, come a second time. But especially if you've been to a Zoom workshop, think about coming a second time.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that group experience is amazing. And if money isn't a big issue, we can scholarship. But if you want to come, we have a Brothers in the Battle program. If you've been to a workshop or the Zoom workshop, you can come and observe the second time and talk. Just call us at 800. They'll tell you how to go about that. But it's powerful. It's coming up April the 8th, Columbus, Ohio. And you need to be there. And ladies, if your husband needs to be there, you make the first call and find out about it and talk to your husband about it. We've had women who have talked to their husband and said, you're going or else. And we've had them just call and have a calm discussion and decide together that's what they need to do.
That's great. In two ways. You can go online, register online at newlife.com, or you can give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And so all you have to remember is the words new and life. And you can then enter into a new kind of life and free from the obsessions and the addictions that keep us trapped, isolated, and in the dark. And we will be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams in with Dr. Jackie Mac Harris and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we're going to go to one final call of the day. We're going to go to Betty in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who listens on our app. Betty, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Well, we're here too. Let's hang out. What do you got for us today?
Yes. I'll start out with my question. I have a daughter that I believe may be headed toward a marriage. A guy's very good, guy that I like. There's more history behind it, but we'll deal with that later. But I wanted to ask what kind of things a parent, say if he comes and asks me to marry her,
mm-hmm.
what kind of things can a parent do and ask and say? I'm a little wiser because I'm 79 now.
Uh-huh.
So, and her dad has passed away.
Mm.
And so I wondered what kind of things I can say or how would I handle that? Because I think in the past she's been married twice and divorced twice. And I've called you probably 3 or 4 times about the last 3 years because of some of these things.
Yeah.
So this is not new to me. But I just got to thinking about this because it looks like it may head that way.
Well,
and I think it's a
well,
very
I got a question. What ended the first two marriages?
Well, the first marriage was... when she asked me the first time I met him, I said, nope, not the right person. So that settles that, right? But they ended up getting married anyway, and, you know, you just say a little, and then you just have to deal with life, because that's what my parents did, right? And so that marriage lasted 6 years, and he left her 2 months before she had their first child.
Mm.
And my little granddaughter's 7 now. And the second marriage she got into, and actually at the time I was living with her, taking care of Emma because they were alone, and she got involved with a man that had severe PTSD from military service, and it was a hot mess for
years. Yeah. Let me jump in because that's
sure.
super helpful because I don't think the conversation that you need to have is with this guy.
Mm-mm.
I think the conversation you need. I think the conversation you need to have is with your daughter.
And then when he does come and ask you, all you have to do is say yes or no based on what your daughter says to you, right? Like if he comes and asks for your permission to marry your daughter, and you've spoken with your daughter, then you can say, "Oh yeah, she's into it," or "No." That's not what she wants, but the conversation to be had would be with her about what's upcoming for her and what's behind her.
And has she done the work in between marriages to then venture down that road again? And because it's not just, Betty, about her finding the right guy, right? It's about her preparing herself to be the right gal.
Mm-hmm. Because wherever she goes, there she is.
Working on that very diligently.
Okay.
So, because here's the thing, is that your concern would be our concern, and that is she's got a broken picker.
Mm-hmm.
Her picker's bad.
And you said that the first time I called you about this.
Oh, okay.
She knows that, and she's my answer to that was that she has learned it from me. And I've had tons of counseling. She's had tons of counseling. I've been on a 30-year-plus journey with codependency and all that. So we're good for having a lot of work done.
Yeah, because it's important that we are able to reframe marriage. You know, marriage is not a solution to a problem.
Absolutely not.
And
she doesn't want to be alone.
Exactly. And it's not a solution to loneliness.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So if I can't be alone, marriage is not going to cure that. That sounds crazy, but ask anyone who's been married.
I know that.
Right? So.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's about being able to be alone. To understand ourselves, to understand who we are and what we're like and what we're not like, our strengths and our weaknesses, as well as our needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But let's say the guy does come to you. I would want to know if they each were aware of each other's history.
Yes.
Right? And the shortcomings of that. And that has he done his own work? Mm-hmm. What makes him think that he's ready to remarry and step into a new relationship? What's going to be different for him?
He's never been married before.
He's never been married before.
He's never been married.
Yeah. Well, in the, but similarly, what's his story? How, and what
how
is,
has he dealt with his
and
life?
What are their expectations? What are their visions? And so here's what I would highly, highly, highly consider for them is that they do couples therapy long before they get engaged.
Like now. Not
premarital therapy.
Not
the
pre-engagement therapy.
Pre-engagement therapy, because premarital therapy, the ring's bought, the caterer's paid.
I've said all those things to her, and she sounds like a little counselor herself, because we've been through so much, and I was new to you guys so long. However, she knows that you can't bring a horse to water and make them drink, you know. So that, but he's a great guy, and I don't know. I may just have to step back again. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that, and that really is it. You know, we as much as we want to control the decisions of our children, and especially our adult children, we have to let them be adults and make their adult decisions
see,
and
son,
suffer their adult
son,
consequences.
My granddaughter.
Sure, sure, and you know, and so, but you being honest with what you see. And what we, with what you know and what you're willing and not willing to do is really important.
Yeah.
So we're going to send you two resources. So Betty, I'm going to send you a copy. You may already have it, but we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. But we're going to also
I haven't had that one. I think that would be great for her too.
Well, yes, absolutely. And we're also going to send you a copy of How We Love. And so I want
that.
Perfect. And so I would have them.
It's a wonderful book. Wonderful.
So she needs a copy, right?
Yes. The daughter needs
the daughter
a copy
needs
of
Well, I got the copy and I gave it to her.
Okay.
Sure. Absolutely. And then, you know.
That's the answer to the question, what do I say to him? Would you read this book, please?
Yes.
That is wonderful because I've been begging her to give him the book.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yep. So yeah, we'll give you a copy to give to him.
Excellent. So
that sounds fabulous. Oh, great.
Yes, yes. So and Betty, these are tough situations, right? Because when the people that are closest to us that we love the most, and they're making decisions that we may not agree with, believe in, or we just
and they made past mistakes, right? It's hard to.
I have adult children. It's hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You really don't have as much power and authority, but. The feeling is still the same. My nervous system doesn't care that my daughter's 30 and 27.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It just wants them to be safe and make good choices.
She was upset with me. One time she was upset with me with something I said, and I looked at her and I said, "You think I did everything my parents thought I should do?"
This is just a suggestion. Right?
I have a recommendation.
Yes.
So take it or leave it. So Betty, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for listening and thank you for keep calling in. We love talking with you. And everyone out there, we love talking with you as well. And if we didn't get to your call today, give us a call back. Again, 1-800-229-3000 in future shows. Thank you again for being with us today. A couple things I want to mention. It's not coming up for a while, but I want to put it on people's radar. Intimacy and Marriage is coming to the East Coast this summer, July 22nd through the 24th. We'd mentioned How We Love. It's a great, great resource for our marriages. We have tons of great resources here. Please utilize us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being part of our friend and family network. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.